Today, choppy, event-filled trading drives markets to new peaks again. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover crypto and commodities along the way. Overall, Wall Street and most global benchmark indices rose on the week as upbeat US economic data more than compensated for the heightened trade uncertainty and Trump ramping up his verbal attacks on Fed Chair Jerome Powell. But there is one simple truth driving markets at the moment, and it's this: global money supply, as measured by the so-called M2 measure, continues to rise, reaching $94 trillion US dollars worth. And a quick look at the narrower measure of M1 reveals this growth is across the US, China, and the G10 less the US too, so it's widespread. No surprise then, as the supply tide rises, thanks largely to government policies across the planet, asset prices are stoked higher as more money is chasing the same assets. The tech sector is a magnet for those flows. So another stunning fact is that after Nvidia became the world's first $4 trillion company, only the US, China, Germany, India, and Japan had larger 2024 gross domestic products than Nvidia's market value. That's according to the IMF. That means Nvidia is worth more than the total economies of powerhouses such as the UK, Canada, and Russia. Combined, the US's most valuable car, entertainment, financial services, healthcare, and energy companies combined, Tesla, Netflix, JP Morgan Chase, Eli Lilly, and ExxonMobil, have an aggregate market cap of just, well, $3.5 trillion, a mere bagatelle. The global cryptocurrency market is worth about $4 trillion too. That's according to CoinGecko, led by 60% in Bitcoin. Nvidia is now as big as the whole crypto universe. Or another way to look at it, the S&P 500's 200 smallest companies is valued about $3.52 trillion combined compared to the Nvidia $4 trillion. That includes blue chip companies like Campbell's, HP, Tyson's Food, and United Airlines. All this helps to explain why property, stocks, gold, and Bitcoin are all bubbling high. And yes, folks, this is both inflationary and stagflationary, and it's full of risk. Nevertheless, this bubbly trend continued this week with the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the ASX 200, and the MSCI All Countries Indices all hitting record highs on Friday before cooling off following a report the US President Donald Trump is pushing for a minimum 15 to 20% tariff on goods from Europe amid mixed earnings reports and falling bond yields. The tougher position comes after weeks of talks that had focused on maintaining a baseline tariff of 10% on most goods. Trump has also reportedly been unresponsive to the EU's latest offer to reduce car tariffs and appears willing to maintain the planned 25% duties on automotive sectors. Bitcoin hit a new high above 123,000 US, but then fell around 1% on the week. Maybe not a huge shock after spiking 9% the week before as the US passed a series of bills related to crypto. The US House of Representatives on Thursday passed a bill to create a regulatory framework for US dollar-pegged cryptocurrency tokens known as stablecoins. At the close in New York, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 0.32%, while the S&P 500 declined 0.01%, and the NASDAQ Composite actually climbed 0.05%. The Volatility Index was down 0.67% to 1641. Block stock jumped 10% following announcement that it'll be added to the S&P 500 index, replacing Hess, which was acquired by Chevron. The Dow Jones Indices announced that the change will take effect prior to the opening of trading on Wednesday, July the 23rd. Block, formerly known as Square, is a financial technology company founded back in 2009 by Jack Dorsey and Jim McKelvey. The company provides payment processing, financial services, and software solutions for businesses and individuals through products like Square and Cash App, as well as tools for payroll and cryptocurrency trading. Index inclusion typically drives significant stock movements as it requires funds that track the S&P 500 to purchase shares of the newly added company. This mandatory buying activity often creates upward pressure on the stock price. Meanwhile, Robinhood Markets and Applevin Corp each fell approximately 1% as investors reacted to those companies being passed over for inclusion in the index. Now, the case for a US interest rate cut remains unresolved as Federal Reserve officials head into their policy meeting later in the month, with data showing fresh signs of higher inflation and President Donald Trump intensifying his demands for lower borrowing costs. Trump appeared near the point of trying to fire Fed Chair Jerome Powell this week, but backed off with a nod to the market disruption that would likely follow. And the US central bank's policy rate outlook remains virtually unchanged despite all the dramas. On Friday, the president repeated his criticisms of Powell and said that the Fed's policy rate should be 1%, a low level typically used by the Fed to boost a weak economy, not, as the Fed is currently attempting to do, to temper inflation with tighter monetary policy. The Fed is expected to hold its benchmark rate steady at the 4.25 to 4.5% range at its July 29th to 30th meeting, a level policymakers regard as at least moderately restrictive. The Fed last cut rates in December, when policymakers started assessing the possible impact on prices from the import tariffs that Trump quickly began imposing after returning to the White House in January. Yields were lower after Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller called a July rate cut for the second time in as many days, and also said he'd be willing to become chairman of the central bank if asked. I smell politics. 10-year US yields were at 4.416%, while 30-year notes were close to 5%. But Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic said that we may be at an inflection point as far as inflation is concerned, as nearly half of goods saw price increases that annualized to 5% or more, he said. That's a ratio he uses to monitor inflation's breadth. That was double the share in January. The headline number moved away from our target, not towards it. We've seen the highest increase in prices that we've seen all year, Bostic said. We are seeing things underlying in the economy that suggest inflation pressures are up. The price pressures are real. Also bolstering US Treasuries was a survey from the University of Michigan that showed consumer 12-month inflation expectations dropped to a 5-month low of 4.4% in July from 5% in June. Long-run inflation expectations fell to 3.6%. That's the lowest level since February, from 4% last month. Barclays, though, is warning that markets face negative summer seasonality, as August and September typically bring elevated volatility, with policy uncertainty and rising rates adding to investor unease. Policy uncertainty keeps markets on edge, Barclays wrote in a note titled Summer Anxiety, cautioning that hedging seems wise given that stocks are near their highs and the macro backdrop remains noisy. The firm highlighted slow progress on ongoing tariff negotiations, noting that while a deal with Indonesia was reportedly reached, uncertainty persists for the EU ahead of the August 1st deadline. The potential for a 30% tariff on EU goods remains a concern. Although the market's reaction has been muted, Barclays said this arguably reflects a degree of investor complacency, with the VIX near year-to-date lows. A full implementation of 30% EU tariffs would certainly lead to a deeper economic slowdown and badly hurt the prevailing taco trade, analysts warned. Barclays cited concerns about ballooning fiscal deficits and Fed Chair Jerome Powell's position contributing to investor unease. Although President Donald Trump later denied firing Powell, the headlines unsettled investors. Despite those risks, Barclays said growth and earnings fundamentals continue to backstop the equity market, and US economic surprises have turned positive, and the second quarter earnings have shown corporate resilience. But Bank of America has warned that US and global growth risks are skewed to the downside, pointing to a range of headwinds that could slow domestic demand. These are said to include the risks of a further rise in the effective tariff rate, the impact of trade uncertainty on corporate spending, weakening immigration dynamics, and the recent negative turn in US fiscal impulses. If US growth decelerates in line with forecasts, global momentum could falter, particularly with weaker China and still weak euro area growth ahead, Bank of America said. In equities, Bank of America remains cautious, forecasting a 10% downside for the Stoxx 600 over the coming months and further losses for European cyclical versus defensive stocks. The US results season was mixed, though Goldman Sachs' second quarter profits exceeded Wall Street expectations as turbulent markets raised revenue in its equities division to a record and a pickup in deal-making boosted investment banking. The results capture a growing trend of market turmoil boosting trading desks across Wall Street as investors rebalance their portfolios to manage tariff-related risks. Goldman's investment banking fees stood at $2.19 billion, rising 26% from a year ago. Analysts were expecting just a 10% jump. The bank set aside $384 million as provisions for credit losses, compared with $282 million last year, mainly reflecting its credit card portfolio risk. Shares fell 0.6%, but they have climbed 23% this year, making them the fifth best performer on the S&P 500 financial index. Goldman's peers JP Morgan Chase and Citigroup reported strong growth in investment banking fees, while Morgan Stanley and Bank of America posted declines. The US dollar slipped against the euro on Friday, but held to weekly gains as investors weighed expected Federal Reserve policy amid signs that tariffs may be starting to increase some inflation pressures, and as US President Donald Trump continued to criticize Chair Jerome Powell. The dollar index was roughly flat on the day at 96.46 for a 0.65% weekly gain. The euro was last up 0.22% to 1.1625, but that still represents a weekly drop of 0.59%. Gold futures for August delivery was up 0.3% to 3,355 a troy ounce, having fallen on Thursday amid some improvement in risk appetite after US President Donald Trump downplayed fears that he'll prematurely fire Fed Jerome Powell. Gold prices up around 20% so far this year, with the global trade war, geopolitical risks, and central bank buying the key drivers for the precious metals rally. However, since reaching a record high above 3,500 ounces in April, the gold rally has stalled and is in need of a fresh catalyst to help push it higher, said analysts at ING. Elsewhere in commodities trading, crude oil for delivery in August fell 0.21% to $67.30 a barrel, while the September Brent oil contract fell 0.29% to trade at $69.23 a barrel. US oil has been consolidating between $65.50 and $70 since the past month war-led volatility calmed down sharply, and markets had earlier been concerned over supply fears, which considerably lowered the energy commodities price since 2025. Momentum has turned in June, but no trend has been forming since. Despite some renewed tensions in the Middle East and Ukraine-Russia talks are in limbo, oil prices haven't elevated much further. European shares were unchanged on Friday as losses in heavyweight healthcare shares were countered by an advance in oil and gas stocks, closing out a busy week filled with corporate earnings from around the continent. The pan-European Stoxx 600 index held steady at 547 points, clocking marginal weekly losses. Regional exchanges were mixed, with Germany's benchmark DAX 40 down 0.3%, France's CAC 40 down 0.1%, but UK's blue chip FTSE 100 up 0.2%. With corporate earnings gaining steam, investors are closely examining corporate guidance to see how firms are adjusting to the shifting US tariff policy ahead of the August 1 trade deadline. On Friday, healthcare stocks were the top losers, with British drug maker GSK down 4.6% after a US FDA advisory panel recommended against approving its blood cancer drug Blenrep due to concerns over side effects. Ivaco climbed 8.3% after a Reuters report that Italy's Agelli family is in talks over the possible sale of the truck maker, with two mentioning Tata Motors as a potential buyer. Swedish home appliance maker Electrolux slumped 14.3% after poor second quarter performance in Europe, and India's Reliance Industries said its retail unit acquired home appliance maker Kelvinator from Electrolux. The European Central Bank can delay its final interest rate cut until December without investors concluding in the meantime that easing is over. That's according to Bloomberg Survey Economists. A majority of economists continue to expect the last quarter point reduction in the deposit rate to 1.75% will come in September after a pause next month. At the same time, half of respondents think the ECB will sit out three meetings before traders assume borrowing costs are on their floor. That's longer than before due to uncertainty over, guess what? Trade. This month's timetable actually has been well flagged by officials led by Central Bank President Christine Lagarde, who sees the ECB in a good place to navigate any challenges to economic growth and inflation that may arise, but there's less of a consensus beyond the summer. Now, in the UK, unemployment climbed and wages growth slowed in the 3 months to May. That's according to official figures that were released this week. Data from the Office of National Statistics on Thursday showed that Britain's official unemployment rate rose to 4.7% in the 3 months to May. That's up 0.1% from April to reach the highest level since June 2021. Pay growth slipped from 5.3% to 5%, as forecast by Citi analysts, by the way. And unemployment had been expected to remain at 4.6%. In the private sector, pay rises were at 3.7% on average in May, a sharp fall from 4.3% in the 3 months to April. The ONS Director of Economic Statistics, Liz McCowan, said the labour market continues to weaken. Against a backdrop of negative economic growth coupled with rising inflation, the figures are expected to give the Bank of England a headache before its next decision on interest rates, which comes on 7th of August. While inflation rose last month to 3.6%, that's above the central bank's 2% target, Threadneedle Street officials are expected to be more concerned about figures showing that the economy contracted by 0.1% in May, adding to the 0.3% decline in April. Analysts are predicting two further interest rate cuts this year, with the first to take place at the bank's August meeting. Most Asian stocks rose on Friday, tracking overnight strength on Wall Street, although the Japanese market lagged as data show consumer inflation remained sticky in June, presenting a hawkish outlook for the Bank of Japan. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices rose 0.6 and 0.3% respectively, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng added 0.9%. China's economy grew at a slightly faster pace than expected in the second quarter, showing resilience in the face of US tariffs, though analysts warned of intensifying headwinds that will ramp up pressure on policymakers to roll out more stimulus. Data on Tuesday showed China's gross domestic product grew 5.2% in the April to June quarter from a year earlier, slowing from 5.4% in the first quarter, but just ahead of analysts' expectations. The unexpected resilience of the China economy in the first half of 2025 has prompted ANZ analysts to raise their full-year growth forecasts while cautioning that deflation and external headwinds remain key risks. The upgrade comes after stronger than expected exports and domestic consumption helped offset persistent weakness in the property sector. ANZ now expects China's real GDP to grow 5.1% in 2025, up from a previous estimate of 4.2%, citing a robust first half expansion of 5.3%. Exports during the first 6 months surged 5.9% year on year, contributing 1.7 percentage points to growth, while retail sales climbed 5.2%, aided by rebounding tourism, analysts noted. However, nominal GDP growth of just 3.9% underscores lingering deflationary pressures, with the CPI and PPI remaining in negative territory, they said. The property downturn continues to weigh, though ANZ notes its drag has lessened, with new home sales declining just 5.2% in the first half, a marked improvement from the 17.6% decline in 2024. ANZ anticipates a 20 basis point interest rate cut and sustained fiscal stimulus over 10 trillion yuan in unused budget deficit capacity. For 2026, ANZ revised GDP growth up to 4.8%, citing gradual rebalancing towards consumption. Yet, structural challenges persist, analysts added, warning that supply-side reforms alone may not revive demand. The report highlighted the Politburo's July meeting as a potential catalyst for clearer policy direction. The Nikkei 225 lagged its Asian peers on Friday, losing 0.3%, while the TOPIX shed 0.2%. The Japanese economy shrank in the first quarter of 2025 as sticky inflation weighed on private spending, despite the latter being boosted by bumper wage hikes. Consumer price index data showed a slightly bigger than expected decline in core inflation in June, but a core reading that is watched by the Bank of Japan as an indicator of underlying inflation rose to 3.4%, pushing further above the central bank's 2% annual target. The reading showed Japanese inflation does remain largely sticky, especially with food prices being underpinned by an ongoing surge in rice supplies. The Bank of Japan meets next week on July the 31st and is expected to continue its wait-and-see approach and hold interest rates. The Bank of Japan hiked rates in January, but hope for a series of rate increases were dashed after US President Donald Trump promised and delivered tariffs on many US trading partners, including Japan. Capital Economics analysts said that while this was the case, they warned that the threat of Trump's trade tariffs are likely to stay the Bank of Japan's hand. With trade tensions looming large over the economy, the risks remain that the Bank of Japan will stand pat for longer than we've anticipated, Capital Economics wrote in the note. Japan faces a 25% euro tariff starting from August the 1st. US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told the Japanese Prime Minister that their country can reach a good agreement on tariffs. But polls suggest that Japan's ruling coalition is at risk of losing its majority, which could stir policy uncertainty at home and complicate tariff negotiations with the US. The dollar gained 0.1% to 148.83, and that's a weekly gain of 0.93%. Taiwan shares of TSMC rose over 2% and were near record high levels seen in January last, after the world's largest contract chipmaker clocked a record profit in the second quarter. The company benefited greatly from robust artificial intelligence-driven demand for its advanced chips and said that this trend was unlikely to change in the coming months. But the CEO did flag some caution over the impact of US trade tariffs on chip demand, especially in non-AI sectors. TSMC's annual outlook was also seen as somewhat cautious by analysts. This left broader Asian chip stocks trading mixed on Friday. Asian chip makers had reacted negatively to ASML's warning, given that the firm, along with TSMC, is considered as a bellwether for the industry. South Korean memory chip maker SK Hynix saw extended losses on Friday, which in turn dragged down the KOSPI index by 0.13%. Chipmaking stocks in Japan and China, such as Semiconductor Manufacturing International Group and Tokyo Electron, also moved in a flat to low range. Markets are holding out for an India-US trade deal, which US President Donald Trump says is close. But at the close, the Nifty 50 declined 0.57%. The India VIX was up 1.4% to 1140. Australia's ASX200 was a standout performer, though, this week, rising more than 2% and extending gains after dismal but suspect labour data released earlier in the week furthered bets that the Reserve Bank of Australia will have to cut interest rates further in the coming months, following a surprise hold in July. This was its strongest weekly gain since May, after a third record close this week, driven by a rebound in heavyweight CSL and after BHP Chief Executive Mike Henry told investors commodity demand remained resilient due to, guess what, Chinese demand. The ASX 200 jumped 1.37% to 8,757.20 on Friday. That's its best one-day rise since April. For the week, it added 2.1% as the exchange smashed its record close three times. All 11 sectors finished in the green, with healthcare the standout. CSL jumped 3.6% to 257.38 for a weekly gain of 7%. That's the best since December 2021, after US reaffirmed its buy rating and $310 price target. BHP helped lead the charge, going up 3% to $40.29 after reporting record output across its key commodities. Copper production lifted 8% to an all-time high of 2.01 million tonnes, while its Western Australian iron ore division delivered 290 million tonnes despite earlier cyclone disruptions. Iron ore hit a three-month high after Henry said demand for commodities remained resilient in 2025, underpinned by strength in China. That resilience largely reflects China's ongoing ability to grow its overall export base despite a significant decline in exports to the US and its ability to deliver robust domestic demand despite the dislocation in the property sector, Henry said. TenCap chief executive Jason Todd said investors are right to stay bullish as markets continue to shake off uncertainty. We expect equities to continue climbing a wall of worry through the second half of 2025, maybe not in a straight line, but certainly with an upward bias, he said. Equity markets are showing a high degree of resilience through their repeated ability to absorb downside risks, and we think this is a solid base for further gains as we move into the second half of the year. Mesoblast soared 34.4% to $2.41 after reporting strong early sales of its cell therapy drug, which became commercially available in March. Atlas Arteria slipped 0.4% to $5.15 after the toll road operator lost a legal battle in the Virginia Supreme Court over plans to raise tolls by up to 40% on the Dulles Greenway near Washington. Virgin Australia climbed 1.9% to $3.27 after UBS initiated coverage with a buy rating and a $3.90 target, citing a clearer strategy, stronger fundamentals, and improved structure since relisting. Banks were stronger, with CBA up 0.92%, Westpac was up 1.81%, NAB was 1.37% stronger, and ANZ was up 1.22%. And Macquarie also rose, that was up 1.25%. The Aussie was at 65.07 cents against the US dollar and 48.53 against the UK pound. Investors have shrugged off concerns that the earnings in Australia's largest listed companies are set to decline for a third year in a row, even as the share market set record after record. That's a divergence that is stretching valuations and leaving some concerned about a reckoning may be coming. The ASX 20 had risen 30% since 2023, while underlying earnings have fallen 15% over the same period. Still, the disconnect between share prices and earnings has pushed valuations into historically stretched territory. The ASX 20 index, which tracks the biggest businesses, is on track for a 1% decline in earnings for this fiscal year when companies begin to report next month. That would follow a 4% fall in the 12 months to the end of June last year and a 10% decline in 2023, with the biggest drag on earnings coming from the miners, with iron ore futures in Singapore dropping 14% from over $110 to below $100 a tonne over the last financial year. Since December the 31st, iron ore has declined by around 2%, and that continues, of course. While financials, the largest sector on the ASX 200, were expected to post mid-single-digit earnings growth, that will not be enough to offset the pullback in resources. Now, finally, in crypto, crypto-focused stocks rose on Friday after Ether hit a six-month high on the passage of the stablecoin bill by the US House of Representatives. This marks a watershed for the digital asset industry, of course, which has long pushed lawmakers to create rules for digital assets, arguing that a clear framework would drive a wider usage of stablecoins and other crypto tokens. Ether benefits from an increased usage of US dollar pegged tokens known as stablecoins. Most stablecoins are issued and transacted on the underlying Ethereum blockchain, driving up demand for Ether pay for transaction fees. Shares of Bitmine, whose tech billionaire Peter Thiel is the top investor and whose chairman is Fundstrat's Tom Lee, soared 12.7%. Other Ether holding firms, BitDigital and BTCS, added 6.5% and 22.9% respectively. SharpLink shares dipped 0.6%. The $3.5 billion SharpLink Gaming, which has funded its Ether treasury through stock sales in recent weeks, said on Thursday that it added $5 billion to its current $1 billion share sale plan. The standout proposition of institutional Ethereum accumulation seems to be stablecoin growth, which has been further accelerated by the recent success of Circle IPO, said Matthew Dibb, CIO of Astronaut Capital, a Singapore-based crypto asset manager. Ethereum is by far the biggest beneficiary of stablecoin usage. Stablecoin issuer Circle Internet added 6%, while crypto exchange Coinbase Global added 7.6%, and hit an all-time high for the first time since its IPO in 2021. Ether climbed to 3,625.81. That's the highest since January the 6th, and was last up 6% at 3,643.09, outperforming Bitcoin, which eased a little, 0.5%, 218.870, after hitting that record high earlier in the week. Ether also got a boost from a number of companies adding the digital asset to their balance sheets recently for an example of Strategy. Shares of the largest corporate holder of Bitcoin have rocketed more than 3,000% since the year 2000, as its underlying asset has ballooned in value. While many companies have launched copycat strategies with Bitcoin, which is capped at 21 million coins, and is often viewed as the digital store of value, the pivot to Ether has raised some eyebrows, as it does not have a cap on maximum supply. While the fixed supply cap is Bitcoin's cardinal trait, the cardinal trait of a digital treasury company business model is perpetual dilution through share issuance, which takes us right back to money supply and the asset bubbles, which continues and will do so until something breaks. As to when that might be, well, no one really knows, but extreme PEs of well over 22 now on the S&P 500 is a warning flag indeed, as this final chart shows. So, we understand why things are bubbling, but this is not necessarily good news in the long term. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.